If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
From a personal side, our readiness to be mothers, our readiness to take on that next, you know, title and that next part of our karma, it's really important to heal usually our own inner child. I'll ask the spirit baby what they need to feel safe to come in.
Hey everyone, and happy new year. Welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. Today I have a really, really special episode. I'm talking to Kate Van Horn, who is an intuitive tarot reader and psychic. I have personally worked with Kate before. I've had a reading from her. I was in her group tarot course to learn more about reading for others and learning deeper about tarot, and it was amazing. And I just knew that she was the perfect person to have on to give us some guidance and help us really learn and sink into our own intuitive guidance as we head into this new year, into 2022. And I know that you all are going to find so much guidance from this episode. So one thing I want to say is, if you are listening to this and maybe you're in your car or you're cleaning or, you know, taking a walk or working out, I almost encourage you to listen when you have the time to sit down, get comfortable, grab your journal, grab a pen, grab a cup of coffee or some tea, and take in this tarot reading and apply it to what's coming up for you. So Kate is going to go through the first 6 months of 2022, giving us what the energy of the first 6 months feel like. And then I know your intuition is going to bring up some really, really incredible things for you. And I want you to be able to apply this reading to your life and what you feel is coming your way in 2022. Having said that, you are more than welcome to listen to this in any format that feels good for you. But I wanted to give that little tidbit of advice in case you want to make sure you have a pen and paper handy. Okay, so let's hop right into this episode, learning all about the first 6 months of the year with Kate Van Horn. All right, everyone, I'm here with Kate Van Horn, and I'm so excited to be chatting with her today. I've been kind of following you for a long time, and then even when you started to switch gears and get more into the space of tarot and intuitive healing and all of that, I was like, this is amazing, and I was in your tarot program when you ran full circle. I don't know. I think I was pregnant at the time. Was I pregnant?
I don't even remember. I remember us looking into your own, like, to your cards, to try to decide when you would get pregnant.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I was not even pregnant yet. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And now I have an 8-month-old, as we were talking about before. That's so crazy. But no, I've just loved watching everything you've been doing with your business and how you've been shifting and have shifted for a while. And I'm just so excited to have you on. And we're going to do some tarot. And we're going to talk about the new year, and it's going to be amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share. I think we have some fun things planned for the conversation and to share with those listening. So I really appreciate the space.
Yeah. So for anyone that hasn't followed your work, can you just share a little bit about what you're doing and some of the, I guess, intuitive healing, what's the word I'm looking for, practices that you offer?
Yeah. So I am an intuitive tarot reader and psychic. I was inspired by my own healing journey through mental health and different, an eating disorder, body stuff going on, to develop these practices to ground me in my spirituality. I was seeking, obviously, like, faith and trust and surrender and kind of wondering, you know, why is this what I'm feeling right now? Why is this my story currently? And what can I do with it to empower myself to feel better? And through, you know, the more traditional forms of, like, therapy and things like that, I definitely received a lot of support, but my tarot practice started to become you know, my greatest like love and interest. And I was just very fascinated by the structure of the deck. So that's, you know, how it began. I was really into the messages I was receiving and feeling validated by them. And then I started reading for others. And slowly that morphed into what it is today, which is, you know, truly just intuitive healing through spirit guide connection, sometimes spirit baby connection, if that's what someone's thinking, through obviously tarot and channeled messages. I do a lot of like automatic writing in my channeling. So it's just kind of become this like plethora of modalities and practices that I believe are really meant to tap us back into like our intuitive knowing and our understanding of our story and, you know, why we're moving through these things, these challenges, these peaks and valleys, like what's the purpose behind it and what can I do with that? So that's what I personally went through and now try to inspire my clients to move through. You know, it's fun. It's fun to talk about spirit guides and channel universe and things like that. But all of it's really rooted in actually like very simple practices and a groundedness as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so similar where I, you know, was going through some routes with therapy and all those things. And I still do therapy because it's amazing. But I found that I was like guided to tarot as well. And I started with that. And it was the same thing. Like it was just kind of for me. And I was pulling and realizing that I was really getting guidance from the cards and learning so much. And then slowly it was like I was at a party and my friends would be like, oh, hey, she like has tarot cards. And I would just like read for fun. And then you know, I kind of just kept getting into it. Then that led me to Reiki and some other things. But it is true. It's like we're all seeking some sort of healing or answers or grounding or like, what's the purpose here? Yeah. And we all seem to find our own spiritual path. And yours started with tarot as well, it sounds like. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I found that tool to be so accessible because it was something I could see, I could work with, I could like, it felt more real because it's, you know, an actual set of cards and it felt very validating. Like we're both feeling and mentioning, you know, it's just like, oh, that's what I'm sensing. And it came out through the card and that made me feel like I'm actually connected to my intuition. So that was the starting kind of stepping stones for me was definitely tarot. And, you know, now it's become a whole business. It's so wild for me sometimes to think like, and it makes me realize how much we need these sort of opportunities for connecting and healing. It's like, it's definitely a great supplement to whatever we're doing in therapy or elsewhere or within our family or with ourselves. It's just, it's another layer that really adds depth. And I think that when it comes to spirituality and faith and connection to that, the more the merrier as far as like tools and practices, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100% agree. And I'm sure you get this question often, but I definitely want to address it here because there sometimes people can be worried or afraid of this type of stuff or even tarot. And how do you explain that? I think as someone who grew up Catholic, there is actually like two sides of it. I feel like some Catholics are like, bring on the tarot. Like they're very into that and spirit guides and everything. And then there's also people that are very Catholic that are like, no, I cannot. That is not touching that. But then I also think that's sort of a lot of religions in general or structured religions have their own opinions on it. So for anyone listening that's like, well, I am this religion. I'm not sure if I want to dive into tarot or maybe they do. Can you kind of explain how you approach that?
Yeah. So two things. One, always go at your pace. You know, like your pace and your speed with spirituality is yours and you don't have to judge it. You don't only move at a speed you're comfortable. So if that means just, you know, being around or having a deck in your home, that could be a huge step for someone, you know, compared to someone like me who's pulling cards like all day long.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, finding your pace. But also remembering that like, it is about intention because the tarot deck is truly an extension of our energy. The person that's reading them, it's an extension of their energy. And for me, I like to believe and I know and trust that I don't bring any poor intention to my work. And therefore, it's not dark magic or like anything like that. So everything truly is rooted in love and support and a feeling of like trust and belief in it. So therefore, I don't ever sense that there's like negative or like toxic vibration to my deck or my work with clients. But that said, I think that there is fear. And when you're leading with fear, you're going to be met with something that's triggering a fear. So it's just a matter of knowing and tapping into like, your understanding of yourself. Like, am I ready for this or not? And it's okay not to be ready. It's okay to be intrigued. It's okay to be interested and not feel quite ready yet. I totally respect everyone's, like, you know, like I said, speed and pace.
Yeah. Yeah. There is something to really knowing in yourself. And I think this goes for anybody or anybody's work, especially if they're working like one-on-one with someone or in a healing space. It's knowing that you are rooted in goodness no matter what. Because I've even found in the world of Reiki, there is a lot of fear too, of especially people that don't understand it. And so it's like, you know, I, like, as a Reiki healer, it's like, I'm just the person offering this service, right? Like, I'm not doing anything besides being the, I can't even think of the word I'm looking for again, but just like being that person to send you the healing. The Reiki energy is going to do what it needs to do. And I trust that it's in good intention. So yeah, there's something to that, just knowing and trusting that there's no bad vibrations here.
Well, there's no bad vibrations, but I get it. And it's also the vulnerability of, like, in my case, someone not knowing what card's going to come out and me being able to read them is a very vulnerable thing. And for you, it's like this trust and surrender of the body's energy, which is also incredibly vulnerable.
Right.
So yeah, it's, I understand why these types of things trigger fear. And that's why it is important to, like, take our time. And just because it's, like, cool and all over Instagram doesn't mean you have to make it your thing immediately. Like, it takes a second.
Mm-hmm. And finding someone you trust to work with, I think, is important too. Like, yeah, that's why I took your course, actually, is because I loved your approach to it. And I just connected with you and I was like, this is what I want to do to learn more. And I think that's really important.
For sure. Thank you. That's a compliment.
Yeah, no problem. I have one more question before we kind of go in deeper. What about people that are like, I don't want a bad card? You know, like, that's always the fear too, is like, I don't want to pull that card. What do you say to them?
Oh, I could say a few things, but the first being, maybe start with, and this is genuine. This is not trying to, you know, be like off-putting. Tarot might not be your thing then, because tarot does hold shadow and light. And that's the purpose of it, is that it's, throughout these 78 cards, we're seeing the full kind of scope of what a person's journeying through in their lifetime, which does hold some darker periods and some harder lessons. So if you're not in a space mentally, emotionally, spiritually to go there, I totally respect that. But tarot might not be your tool. And also, if you are willing to risk it, you know, risk seeing that card, that inevitable, you know, hard card sometimes, know that it only comes out when you're ready to receive it. I think that that's a really big thing I have to trust with my client work, is knowing that, like, when the harder cards are coming, it's because they're in the space to receive it, and that you're ready to go there with the conversation. So even with yourself, tapping in that way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so comforting to believe that what you're meant to hear is going to come at you when you're ready. That takes off a lot of pressure. And also, you know, something that I know you feel so strongly about is we all learn through the harder periods. So I think it's like this idea of it's okay and they are temporary. So even if something comes up, it's like, all right, like, that might not be a really easy time of my life or a season in my life, but I know that I'm going to come out of it with something really awesome, hopefully.
For sure. And that's why, like, there's multiple cycles happening in tarot all the time. So I talk a lot in my course about the structure of the deck and how it is cyclical. And with every hardship, there's a gift on the other side. And it was really, like, structured that way to remind us of those ebbs and flows of energy. So yeah, I think it's all good if you're ready and willing.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned spirit, like baby energy and things like that. Do you often do readings for mothers that are currently pregnant or post-pregnancy? And I know, like, I pulled some cards while I was trying to get pregnant because I was just like all in my head about, am I going to get pregnant? When's that going to happen? So can you share a little bit about the experiences you've had, as this is, you know, many women on here are in some phase of their fertility journey listening to this podcast.
I'm glad that I brought it up because I knew your audience had a lot to do with fertility and or on that journey.
And for sure,
that is definitely a huge part of my client work, is like the preparation for baby. Because obviously, you know, tarot cannot speak to the more physical components and, like, the aspects of partnership as well. But from a personal side, our readiness to be mothers, our readiness to take on that next, you know, title and that next part of our karma is really important to heal usually our own inner child, our own mother wound. So our connection to our mom, this like ancestral, you know, lineage that we have of the divine feminine and the spirit baby. I'll do a lot of this work more in my psychic channeling. I'll ask the spirit baby what they need to feel safe to come in. And they'll usually communicate with the mother, letting them know, like, you know, this is where you're getting. And it is usually as simple as a mindset shift, honestly, within the mom, because they have a new karma beginning between the two of them, you know, what their soul contracts are here to do. And that spirit baby does not arrive until they know they can fulfill that contract. They're actually they're wiser than us in many ways. So before they drop in, it's a chance for me and mom to connect and reflect about, like, you know, sometimes too, if there are fertility issues on a physical level, there's sometimes like a physical response or an emotional response to trauma or something that's created a bit of that. So we explore all those things. And I find it so fascinating. I've done a lot of my own sacral healing and sacral work, as well as my own inner child work. So this actually came to me like when I was moving through some of my own work with that. And then, you know, the access to spirit babies and stuff kind of happened then. And I'm so fortunate because working with pregnant women in preparation is like honestly my favorite thing.
Oh, that is amazing. And I will definitely link to your work with that, because I'm sure there are so many listeners who are like, I want more of that, or I want that experience and that connection. It makes me think, I wonder what little spirit baby Giovanna was thinking, because I shared this story like a few different times on the podcast, but the month I got pregnant, I pulled cards for myself, and it was like very much about just like letting go, trusting the process, like just like drop your guard. And that legitimately is the month I got pregnant, was like when I was like, I'm just going to stop thinking about it and trying. And I had that card on my phone as my screensaver for so many months, because it just really brought so much comfort for me. And I always think about that. I'm like, I wonder what she was waiting for, you know, but now she's here and I just love her to death. I really know that we're here to teach each other so many things.
Sure.
And her to teach Cody. We had an reading, a full astrological like chart reading for her, and it was super interesting. Cool.
That's really neat. What's her sign?
She's Aries. So she has so much fire in her chart. It's like she's basically like the sun. Like she has so much fire energy, and you can tell as her little baby self too.
That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love to see that much fire energy in a young woman.
Yes, I know. It's like we got to see how she's going to tame and like use it, you know, at the same time. So, yeah. Taking a quick break in the middle of this episode to share something that I am really passionate about. And that is where I got my health coaching certification at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I'm often asked, where did I get these certifications to do what I'm doing, to work with women and focus on hormone health? And the way that I got my start was through deciding to become a certified health coach. I did a ton of research on different programs, and I really loved the way that IIN outlined all of their information. I was just so amazed with the guest speakers that they had coming in to teach some of the courses. And then I knew that after I had completed my certification, that they had advanced courses in hormone health as well as gut health. So I made sure to enroll in those and continue my education with them. So what started off as a small New York City kitchen has evolved over 3 decades and has now become the world's largest and most respected school for nutrition and health coaching. And their online health coach training program and additional course offerings provide students and graduates with the tools and knowledge they need to transform the health of their clients, the communities, and truly the world around them. And I can say with full transparency that making this decision to become a health coach was really the first step that I made in completely transforming the way that I was living my life, the way that I was viewing my life. And it was what led me to what I'm doing today, which, you know, I'm no longer teaching middle school choir, which I absolutely loved, but I just knew that I wanted to make a different sort of impact. And I'm so excited to be sharing this certification program with you. And I'm going to be sharing a link to a free class. So if this is something that is is intriguing to you, if you've been wanting to look and explore different nutrition programs or health coaching certifications, whether it's just to learn the knowledge for yourself, or maybe you want to coach other women as a side hustle, or even think about turning this into your own career, I would love for you to check out this free class and see if it's something that feels in alignment with you. And if you do decide to enroll, make sure to use that link and to share the name Nina, and you can get 30% off your enrollment. So again, there is a link to a free class in the show notes. And then if you decide that this is something that is interesting to you and you would like to enroll, make sure that you share the name Nina and you can get 30% off your enrollment. All right, make sure to DM me. Let me know if you make the decision to become a health coach too. I would love to cheer you on. Now, back to this episode. Okay, well, one of the reasons I really wanted to have you on the podcast today was because when this comes out, it's going to be the new year. Yeah. And I feel like we've all just been through so much in the past couple of years. And I thought it would be nice to just talk about what we can expect coming into 2022. And for anyone listening, I mean, Kate, you can explain a little bit more, but you're just going to pull some cards and maybe chat so that people can envision kind of what you're doing, since this is just audio. But then we'll talk through what we all need to hear and what's coming up for you in the cards as well.
Amazing. So yes, Nina and I were chatting a little bit before, and I'm going to do a blend. So I do a lot of year ahead readings this time of year where we look at the energy of the next 12 months. And there are some months that are really standing out as the biggest high energy like shifts for the collective. And when I say the collective, I just mean, you know, us as a whole, as a community. So one of them is February. I'd say February. This is more of just like a general energy forecast I'm sharing with you guys. And then we'll get into the cards that I want to pull for this group. But February is very big. It's a big shift. It's a big push. There's a lot of momentum behind it and a lot of clarity and a lot of change. So with that in mind, it can be internal or external change, but it's kind of setting us up for a very like intuitive and spiritually connected March and April. Like it's kind of translating to this like epiphany type of energy. So there's this big boom and this big rush happening in February. We shift into the spiritual. And then what I love is across the summer, May, June, July, and August are so successful. Like if anyone listening is looking for...
That feels good.
Yes, like it feels like a huge... it's very masculine in energy in a good way. It's like, you know, we're getting things done. We're launching things. We're putting ourselves out there. We're beginning new relationships. We're celebrating engagements. Like stuff is happening in the summer.
Yeah.
And I look forward to it. So what I'm going to do for this group is kind of read from January until June, the first 6 months. And then, of course, if anyone's listening wants to do like a personal reading with me, we could do that for the full year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to kind of prepare the cards a bit. But Nina, any thoughts or questions based on like your like kind of plan for 2022?
Man, you know, well, me personally, I am feeling like a shift in my business for sure. And like two different things come up. It's like, number one, I just launched Luna, which is my group course. And especially with Gia, it's like, I want to focus more on like helping this wider audience and kind of paring down my private. So I'm kind of like thinking, how's that going to shift? And I really do want to make some big booming changes in 2022 with how I'm doing things. And you know, the other thing that's interesting is even connecting with your website before hopping on this podcast, I've sort of distanced myself from my spiritual practice recently, unintentionally. Like it's just, you know, sometimes it's like I go in and out, and then there are things that remind me of like, ooh, that feels so good too. And I want to rework that in. So that's kind of where my mind is going, just as we're kind of thinking into the new year.
Yeah, I love that. I love both of those intentions. And as far as like, you know, spirituality comes and goes in my personal practice a lot. Like I take breaks too. So it's,
yeah,
say that because I find myself stopping and reflecting and being like, should I be a little more connected? And I think it's okay sometimes. I think it's actually a really healthy break. So I'm excited to see how you get like re-energized by that. So yeah. For the group listening, for those who are listening to our episode right now, January is coming through very similar to what I'm seeing across clients' readings lately. It's really a time for us to hold ourselves a little more accountable. And what I mean by that is to kind of look in the mirror and reflect on like what parts of me, you know, must change before the inevitable changes that the universe brings? What can I do personally for myself? How can I advocate for myself? What I'm seeing across January for this group is a lot less like, so I have the Five of Wands reversed. The Five of Wands is a card of like chaos and like being very pulled in like every single direction, feeling a little like discombobulated, a little bit like ungrounded, maybe feeling frustration. And I do see the Devil card here, which is of course like the hardest card came out to kick off. But you know, where can we break a cycle to get ourselves out of that vibration of like anxiety? And where is it partially our job to do that for ourselves too? That's a big conversation in January. And that's what's coming through for this group. But in other client experiences, it's been very similar of like, what can I finally break free of to set myself up for the success of this year? And so it's a little bit of a tougher month. And I think the winter inevitably brings a lot of like shadow too, brings to the surface things that are, that we have the space to look at. So that's what's coming through in January.
I was going to say, like, when I'm just thinking of this space and this collective and maybe the listeners of this podcast, I'm speaking for myself, and this maybe could apply to everyone listening, but sometimes I think it's like we all try so hard to fix so many things. It's like with our fertility or with the holistic space. And, you know, sometimes it's like, let's just, like, where can we bring ease to all of that? And like, if February is going to bring more of a collective change, you know, I'm interested to see if some of us like do the internal work of like, what can I let go of right now before I move into February, where the universe is really going to kick us all into like this new space.
Yes. And that's exactly what's coming in February. We have the Eight of Wands, which is that like kick in the ass. It's a lot of fire. It's like, hey, hello, wake up. There's a lot of illumination energy, a lot of clarity, aha moment kind of energy. With the Knight of Wands, there's also a lot of like inspiration. So there's like creative inspiration. And I think, you know, whether you identify as an entrepreneur or a creative like Nina and I, or if you're just channeling creative energy for the sake of motherhood, which is also creation energy, really starting to like come to the surface in February and feel a little bit more like passion and less like anxiety and stress. It's true. So that's really good. I like the, I like the speed and the momentum and the illumination of February. I'm really excited to share March with this, with this audience. I have the Empress, which is the mother of the tarot and the star. So if there's a couple people, and something tells me this might be a little bit more for just a few souls who are listening, this feels like a wish fulfillment as far as motherhood. Because
the, the star
card being like our wishes being granted and kind of the gift after some difficulty and some hard times. So it's a really, really purpose-driven card, and the Empress being the divine goddess of the tarot. No matter what, there's a peace within who we are and ourselves, all of us listening, including those who aren't, you know, actively trying to become mothers. There's a peace and a feeling of like, you know, purpose within our divine femininity and seeing and appreciating that beauty.
So I would love to hear from anyone listening that's like that. That March card was talking to me, like those two March cards. And I like too that even if you're not looking to conceive right now, that there is that energy of the divine feminine that so many of us can harness and feel good about and utilize.
Absolutely. And feel really proud of. You know, more kind of energy of a different sort of change. I feel like this has been more of our personal lives and internal experience in the first 3 months, like still very illuminating, still very like much full of beauty and gratitude and abundance. But we do have the Wheel of Fortune and the King of Wands here for the month of April. And that's exciting because the Wheel of Fortune is a good luck charm. It's a card of fate and destiny and kind of, you know, redirection and realignment. Sometimes I'm actually getting a lot of like more professional messages. So in tandem with like the personal healing and the motherhood and fertility journeys, the King of Wands is a really great leader and very powerful when it comes to sharing their vision. So if anyone, including you, Nina, like this is a powerful time for being seen, being heard by others, being outwardly like in our community, and perhaps finding a lot of like success and a lot of like good fortune.
Love that. Yeah, April, bring it on, April. I love spring. Well, Gia was born in spring, which I love. I'm March. She's April. And I always feel like it's such a beautiful new beginning.
It is.
And like this energy just brewing. So I love hearing that for April because I just love that time of year.
I love it. And I just put the hierophant as well, a card of like commitments and learning. I just, it feels very professionally connected and I like it. Yeah. I'd say that May is, you know, a month where the energy is growing a little weary, growing a little tired. There's been a lot. There's been like big explosions of energy. I'm getting a pretty like, honestly, a pretty passive energy from the Four of Cups and the Nine of Wands. It's time to slow down. It's time to kind of tap back into like, why, like I'm doing all this stuff. I'm taking all this action. And like, why? Like, am I staying connected to the why? That's the biggest thing. And noticing also burnout could be coming out.
Oh, I just was going to say, I literally in my head was going to say, are we feeling a little bit of burnout in May? That's almost what I spit out when you just said that.
Perfect. Yeah. Exactly what I'm thinking. It's just, it's a burnout and like a disconnection from purpose because there's so much like go, go, go.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of fire. I mean, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like fire cards out. That's a heavy element in the first half of the year for this group. So it's transformative. It's a very inspiring and passionate energy, but it definitely burns you out. And this is where we see it. We get a little bit lower in that month.
I feel like it feels good when you're in it. You know, you're like, yes, like I'm in the fire. I'm feeling the adrenaline. Things are moving. I have all the passion. And then all of a sudden it's like, whew, I need a break. Like I need to slow it down.
Exactly. Until it's not anymore. So here, you might have, in that slowing down in the month of May, you might have reassessed some things and realigned or faced some things more emotionally rather than actively. And this month in June, to wrap us up, we have the Ace of Cups. It's one of my favorite healing cards. It's just a beautiful like cup of water pouring over like the healing element of water to clear and cleanse things. I think this would be a powerful month for our self-love and how it relates to our connections and our relationships with others, especially romantic partnership. Like this is coming through as a month for some deep healing and resetting there. Also the Two of Wands came up and the Six of Swords. How can you guys transition away from old ideas, you and other people in your relationship, transition away from old ideas and old visions and realign with a newer, more improved and more like more solid manifestation. So essentially sit down with like your husband, your best friends, your family and be like, I have changed across these last 6 months. Here's how you can support me and how we can continue to heal from this new space.
Yeah. It feels like we all like, we're ready to just make some of these changes and we're getting passionate about them. But then like towards the end, it's like, okay, now that we've done all this action, how can we sit down, reflect, and then apply this to our relationships? Like, where are we going to take all of this new energy that we've learned and built throughout the first 6 months? And how are we going to wrap it up here?
Totally. And I see this a lot for women and clients I work with because they're going through this really beautiful transformation and like, you know, for lack of a better word, a spiritual awakening. And that feels very beautiful, but also very isolating sometimes. And I'm noticing that in these last 2 months, it's like so much powerful energy and so many shifts have happened, but now you might be feeling disconnected from those who knew you before the shift occurred. And you're still you, but you're different. And we have to communicate those changes sometimes. And it's awkward and it's vulnerable to be like, hey, I need a new kind of support from you, or I need a new way of, you know, us connecting or healing together. It's a very vulnerable thing to like express your needs after you've changed.
This is a question that's coming up as you're talking about this. I think something that I've personally struggled with as well is the energy right now feels like really, I mean, obviously a lot of us know this, it feels very divided. And I feel like there's a big divide between kind of this masculine, like scientific mathematical energy, and then the feminine flowy intuitive water energy.
Yes.
And I've been working really hard to try and blend them and be like, I don't have to live in either extreme, right? I can kind of flow through both. Yeah. It's pushing me a little bit this year specifically, like I mentioned, I'm pushed more towards, I think, like the mathematic masculine energy, and I want to bring in both. And I wonder, like next year, as you're talking about this, for anyone listening that's like, I'm feeling into this feminine flow. I'm feeling more like this. How do I bring this worldly, more structured masculine energy and blend it with my new self? I don't know if that question makes sense, but I feel like that's sort of what people are going through is they're shifting and changing, but some of that hardcore energy is the same. And like, how do you live both? How do you blend both?
Yeah. It's funny. Like the world comes out as you're like, you know, it's just this like, so a few of the cards I have out, I have the devil card again.
Gosh, darn it. It's coming out.
Guys, please, for those of you listening who are religious, like don't fear. Like,
yeah, it's not scary.
It's not too bad. The chariot reversed and the knight of coins reversed, the king of swords. You know, one of the things as you were talking, Nina, was just like, I kept hearing label. Like we have to stop labeling. And it's like, that's what I feel like we work so hard to fight the labels that we were given from day one. And we're like trying to overcome those and like recreate our own definition of ourselves. And yeah, I don't think there's enough appreciation for the unlabelable, you know, the things in between where I lie of like, I'm a little bit of this and I'm a little bit of that. And that makes the wholeness and the completeness of me. And yeah, I just think that's a dialogue that maybe, you know, there's really polarizing from political, societal, like there's a lot going on right now.
Yes.
So where can you on the micro, where can we as just human beings start to have those conversations of fluidity and embracing no label, embracing middle ground again? Like, can we start, I guess what I've been trying to encourage clients to do is like, start with what you do have control over, which is like you and me having a conversation, you and your mom having a conversation, and really come from a place of like, we have to find the gray. Because that's what it is to be alive. You know, we're never in complete black or white. And yet like the conversation has gone there. So
yeah. In so many areas, we're trying to label everything and or put ourselves in certain boxes, like whether it's the political box or, you know, a gender box or like whatever it is, or the holistic box or the scientific box, you know. And I think it's getting really stressful. I mean, we can all feel it. It's so stressful for all of us. Like, why? Maybe we don't have to put ourselves in any box, whatever your box is in your head right now.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, it's funny because we are so afraid to not label things or to clarify or define things because that feels safer. But right. What we're noticing is like we've taken it now to an extreme where we want to belong somewhere yet also don't know where we belong. Like it's tough. So I feel like that's a really big healing in 2022 is like finding the okayness with imperfection and the okayness with the middle. And that's not to say if you feel very strongly about one opinion or the other, then of course stick with that. But if you are similar to me or Nina, where we're trying to find ourselves in the process of it all, we have to give permission for gray, I think.
That personally was a Giovanna lesson for me that I've shared so many times. It's just like the way she taught me the gray of honestly so many things. And I'm so grateful for that. I feel like it's relieving to not need to put yourself in specific buckets, as we keep saying.
Kids will do that too because they're so intuitive themselves.
Right.
They actually know how to live.
Like, I know. If we all could, well, we all can kind of go back and relearn that. But man, watch a little kid just live their life. And it's so interesting to me just to even watch her explore and the things she decides, you know, it's just like they just do. They just do in the moment. And how beautiful that we all had that. But sometimes we forget. It's hard because, you know, our brains are smart now. So we try to overthink everything.
Everything. And we have so much. And I feel like that's what's kind of coming to a head in January to kind of connect it to what I was seeing in the reading. Like our energy has been so displaced that we're curious why things aren't changing or moving with better alignment. But it's because your energy is here, there, and everywhere. So take it back in January. Bring it back to you so that you can have that really beautiful transformation I'm seeing across February, March, and April, you know, the success and the worthiness and the connection to your divine feminine coming through.
And then letting yourself rest a bit in May.
Yes, take a breather.
And then in June, once you've rested and maybe you need to have conversations or start addressing some things with all that you've taken in, then that might be the month to do it.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that reading. I know I'm very curious. So if you are listening, please message me and let me know what you took from the reading. Since that's the cool thing about tarot too, is the same reading will speak to every single person differently, because it does help you hear what your own intuition wants to say.
Exactly. I always tell people that. I'm like, while you're listening, because sometimes I'll do recorded readings or something like that. I'm like, when you're listening, as you start to have your own intuitive hits, jot those down, give them a space to live. Because if someone was listening and they're like, I really think that this is going to show up for me in March. And, you know, if you know what that wish fulfillment might be, honor your own instinct, because it's probably spot on.
Yes, it always is. So for anyone listening that wants to dive in deeper on a more personal level, can you just share a bit about your tarot service and the other things that you do? And also, I think it's really cool, the whole spirit baby channeling that you do now. So I would just love for you to chat more about how that looks.
Yes. So I have, I will provide, you know, all the information, but I have a bunch of different one-on-one offerings as well as some group offerings. I have a really exciting workshop, writing, channeling, psychic skills workshop on January 10th. So depending when this comes out. But my one-on-one offerings, you know, anything from like very straightforward tarot to a mix of tarot and psychic, you know, prediction. And then my in the womb healing is my spirit baby channeling. And that's the really fun one. So I'll provide you that as well.
Because it's beautiful.
Yeah. This group might like that.
Yeah, I'm not planning on having another baby for a while, but when I do, I'll have to, hopefully you'll still be doing those readings, because that would be really fun. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast and leading us into this year. I think, well, before we actually wrap up, do you have any recommendations for anyone like after they listen, or, you know, maybe I can even share in the intro before they listen, a way to take in this reading and apply it to themselves?
Yeah, I would say definitely like wait to listen to this if you can, at a time when you can grab a pen and paper, be very present, maybe even alone. So you could be setting true intention with yourself, like as we're going month to month, you know, based on the themes, what are you going to do? What action will you take to help and provide for yourself? Because yeah, tarot can tell you what's to come slightly, or give you a forecast for energy, but it's certainly more empowering to use that as a chance to set your own goals or intentions or make commitments to yourself for those first 6 months of the year. So I'd say just pen and paper and putting like thoughts and intentions behind it would be beautiful.
Wonderful. Well, this has been amazing. I really appreciate it. And share where people can find you. We'll also link this information in the show notes.
So my website is katevanhoren.com. So that's where everything lives, courses, readings, so on. And then on Instagram, I'm kate.van.horn.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, have a happy holiday. I know when we're recording this, it's not even Christmas yet. And I can't wait to see where the new year takes you as well.
Me too. I'm excited. I appreciate this so much.
Thank you all so much for tuning into that episode with Kate. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you are looking for a more personalized reading, make sure to reach out to her. I have her website and her Instagram linked in the show notes. And please let me know what came up for you in this reading. I am so curious. So DM me at Nourished with Nina on Instagram. I would love to hear what is the energy that is coming up for you this year. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in to the Healing Hormones podcast, and I will catch you all next Monday with a new guest. Talk to you soon.